Amen, amen. If you would turn with me to Mark, the 5th chapter, on this Father's Day. So grateful for all the fathers. We say it every Father's Day. We unapologetically celebrate fathers in this house. Amen. Amen. Mark, the 5th chapter, verse 21 through verse 25. Then I'll be skipping to verse 35 to verse 43. Also, as you would keep me in your prayers, I'll be preaching out on today. And so immediately I won't be able to greet on today. I have to be at the house of hope. Just ask that you would keep me in your prayers. Mark, the 5th chapter, 21st verse, it says, "And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live.' And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him." And then skipping to verse 35, it says, "While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?' But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not fear, only believe.' And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he entered, he said to them, 'Why are you making a commotion and weeping? This child is not dead, but sleeping.' And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, 'Talitha kumi,' which means, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise.' And immediately the girl got up, began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this. And he told them to give her something to eat." I want to preach on this Sunday, on this Father's Day Sunday, not just to the fathers, but specifically to the men and the fathers, but also to all of the children of God. I want to preach from this sermon topic, "Please Stay." Look at somebody, tell them, "Please stay." Look at somebody else, tell them, "Please, whatever you do, just stay." Let us pray. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for that. This time, which is yours. God, in Jesus' name, clear minds, clear hearts. God, in Jesus' name, God, I ask, God, that you would use me to the power, God, of the Holy Spirit that resides in me. God, I thank you for the opportunity to preach what thus saith the Lord. But God, let there not be anything in me that gets in the way of what needs to take place. Somebody needs to be encouraged. Somebody needs to be uplifted. Somebody needs to feel, God, your presence and your power. So in this moment, God, save, deliver, set free, heal somebody, God. God, it's in Jesus' name we want to say thank you. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Also want to shout out all the fathers who are watching online. Amen. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers who are watching this morning online. Please stay. So, as we all know, today is Father's Day. And if there's anybody who's excited, I'm excited. Because I'm excited because of the father I've shared with you all that I had growing up in my life. And I'm grateful because I love to be able to celebrate my dad, Pops. I was blessed to have a good times, James Evans kind of daddy, amen. Always present, always there, always making sure that things were taken care of, but also letting you know there would be no shenanigans in the house, amen. And I thank God I celebrate him because it wasn't just about me. I was easy to raise. But to be able to raise the other son, amen, we want to thank God. It was nothing but God's grace, God's mercy, God's hand on my father's life that allowed him to do the awesome job that he has done. Always, my father was always teaching and always supporting and always there. He was always catching our back. And so I celebrate my dad. He taught me how to be a man, but also taught me how to love God. I celebrate my father today. I am grateful for my father. And so I just have to send a special shout out to a special father for just being a great dad, being a great husband, being a great man. And I'm just so grateful this morning that I'm able to call Brother Orlando Lee. That is my daddy. Amen. And so I'm grateful because he was always, always there. And so today we come to celebrate fathers and father figures. We come unapologetically. Like I said, every Father's Day, we come to give them their props and to show them some love. Because the reality is, being a father is not an easy job. That many fathers still take that job very seriously. I'm grateful that we have great fathers on this pulpit. I'm grateful that we have great fathers in these pews. I'm grateful for good fathers that do the best they can to hold their families down, and who are doing the best they can to raise their children and to make sure that their children understand what it means to have a great father. We hear so much about the negative that we sometimes forget to honor fathers on Father's Day. There's a joke that one day there was a little boy who asked his father, he said, "Daddy, what exactly is Father's Day?" And the father looked at him and said, "Son, it's just like Mother's Day." He said, "Only you don't have to spend as much on the present, and you can wait until Father's Day to buy a card." And that's a sad testimony, though, because sometimes it makes us realize that fathers sometimes get the bad end of the deal. Fathers are not always appreciated, but we are grateful for fathers who are doing positive things, fathers who are playing significant roles in their children's lives, and fathers who are making positive impacts in their homes and their communities, fathers who won't let a stranger raise their own children, fathers who are doing whatever it takes to make sure that their families are okay, fathers who are fighting past baby mama drama to still be fathers to their children. I'm talking about fathers who are the spiritual heads of their households, fathers who may not be perfect, but they are still present and accounted for. I'm grateful for fathers today, fathers who help with homework, fathers who take children to school, fathers who change diapers and attend PTA meetings, and fathers who raise children who aren't their own children, fathers who pack up lunches, fathers who read bedtime stories, Minister Tench, fathers who work one job to pay bills and another job to keep a roof over the family's head. I'm talking about fathers who teach their sons how to treat women and teach daughters how they ought to be treated. I come this morning to celebrate fathers. I wish I had a wife or a mother that would celebrate fathers with me, that would tell a father that I thank God for you being the kind of father that you've been. That you deserve some recognition. You deserve to be seen today. And it's not always easy to be a father, especially when you are having to deal with circumstances that can be less than favorable and situations that sometimes can be almost impossible to deal with. It can be difficult when you are the provider, the covering, the protector, and the defender of your family. There's not a father or a man in here who at sometimes or at some point in his life has not felt both hopeless and helpless. There's no one here that's never felt like that. There's been a time where you haven't felt like there was nothing that you could do. But I'm grateful that no matter what you had available, even though it may not have been enough, you still trusted that God could make a way somehow. And that's what we see in this text. We see a father who is in that same position. Jairus, he is a synagogue ruler. And although he was powerful, and although he had a great job, and although he had status, it still could not keep him from having to deal with a daughter who found herself fighting for her life. Here we have this father. He is hopeless. He is helpless. But the beautiful thing is he understands where his help and his hope comes from. And so he finds his way to Jesus. He finds his way to the master, and he is now with the master. And I believe that when we look at Jairus, when we look at this father, that as fathers, as men, but also as children of God, there are some things that we can learn from this man. And I believe that there are three things that he shows us. And I believe that it's connected to the sermon title, Please Stay. The first thing I believe that when we find ourselves in hopeless and helpless situations, that the first thing that we learn from this father, and I believe that can benefit all of us, is that no matter what we're going through, please stay in line. Look at somebody, tell them, don't get out of line. Don't, whatever you do, don't get out of line. When we look at verse 22, we see Jairus approached Jesus and told him in desperation that his daughter was dying. He knew if Jesus would just touch his daughter, that she would be healed and live. And it says that Jesus went with him. So now Jairus is hopeful about the situation because he is next in line for the blessing of his daughter. He believes that Jesus has the answer. But in verse 25, we see a shift. Jesus is approached by a woman with an issue of blood. And the situation turns from Jairus' dying daughter to this woman who touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And although Jairus was the next in line, this woman's issue now took Jesus' attention off of his daughter. But what I appreciate about Jairus is that when we see the story pick back up in verse 35, what I appreciate is that Jairus is still there. That Jairus is still in line. I don't know who I'm talking to, but it can be easy to give up in the face of obstacles and challenges. It can be easy to tell ourselves that maybe it's not for me to receive the blessing, or maybe it's not for me to experience the miracle. It can be easy to get upset and frustrated with God when God is doing for someone else, when it appears that God is ignoring you. I wish I had somebody that would be honest enough to admit that sometimes it can be difficult to stay in line when you are in line, being faithful, but God keeps blessing everybody else, but you're still in the same situation, in the same predicament, wondering, when is God gonna see about me? But here we have this father with this emergency. His precious little baby girl is at home dying. And a woman who has had an issue of blood for 12 years butts in line. And instead of him getting upset and frustrated, I like what Jairus does. Jairus stays there and he watches Jesus heal the woman whose issue was less critical than what his daughter was experiencing. And it says immediately after Jesus deals with the woman, the next thing we see is that Jairus gets the news that his baby girl has died. What a blow that had to have been. And I can only imagine that he could have gotten upset with God. And I could only imagine that he could have gotten frustrated with God. And I can only imagine that he could have got out of line. And he could have told himself, I'm out of here. But I thank God that Jairus stayed in line. I believe he understood that although it wasn't his turn for a miracle, he still understood that it was his time for a miracle. The thing I love about this father is he didn't leave because leaving the line would not only have impacted his life, but it would have meant that his daughter would have never received the miracle that she needed. That's why I'm talking to a father, to tell you to stay in line, because this ain't just about you, but this is about the blessing that God has for your family. That you got to stay in line and believe that God can make a way out of no way, not just for you, but that your family will be better and your children will be better. Look at somebody, tell them, just wait and stay in line. I believe that the problem for too many of us is that we get bogged down by watching what God's doing for everybody else, that it makes us get impatient, and so we decide to leave the line before God gives us what we need. But can I tell you that if you leave the line, you'll never get the miracle that God had for you in the first place. But we've got to learn, like the father, how to wait on God, Habakkuk 2:3 says it this way, though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come, it will not delay. Isaiah 40:31 says it this way, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lamentations 3:25 says it like this. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. I'm just preaching word this morning. Micah 7:7 says, but as for me, I will watch with expectation for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I just needed to tell you to wait on God. I'm just trying to encourage somebody here to stay in line until you receive the blessing. Stay in line until God shows up. Stay in line until you get what you came for. Stay in line because the miracle is still there. Stay in line, because God's got a blessing with your name. Look at somebody, tell them, stay in line. If you ain't got it yet, stay there. If it ain't showed up yet, stay there. If you've been praying for it and it ain't manifested yet, stay there. Don't you leave the line. It's too many lives that are dependent on you to stay in line. Second thing this Father shows us on Father's Day is not only do you have to stay in line, but the second thing is please stay close to Jesus. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm sticking with Jesus. Verse 25, 35, Pastor Sterling has said some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and told him, said, your daughter is dead, so why bother Jesus? What they were doing, hey, my mind did not even know they were doing. Just shout it out, my God. My niece, while she went to the bathroom, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm still with you, though. What they were doing and did not even realize it is that they were trying to let Jairus know that what he needed from Jesus, that it was not possible. And so, without even knowing it, they were attempting to disconnect him from Jesus. But the most critical lesson in this is that fathers and all of us need to know is that in spite of the facts that we are presented, that Jairus never left Jesus' side. And although he had been told that his daughter had died, he still stayed close to Jesus. Wherever we see Jesus in the text, we see Jairus in the text, because he stayed as close to Jesus as he could so that his faith would not waver. He did not let the burden of the news conquer his belief in the ability of the power of Jesus. That's why I'm trying to help somebody. Look at somebody, tell them you need to stay as close to Jesus as you can. And that is your, because the faith is what overrides the facts. And then even we go further. When he showed up to the house and folks laughed at Jesus' assertion that Jairus' daughter was not dead but asleep, he still stayed close to Jesus. Because it says that Jesus got everybody else out of the room except for Jairus, the mother, and Peter, James, and John. Woo! You see, when we look at the text, the people who delivered the news and those that were waiting at the house were only able to present Jairus with facts. While Jesus told Jairus to believe and stay connected to your faith. Sometimes the problem is we allow people who have access to us to make us start to doubt our faith because they keep reminding us of the facts. Woo.
people who can only show us what is directly in front of us. People who can only tell us why it's going to be impossible to accomplish it. People who can only show us what they can see but cannot tell us what vision can believe. Because all they see is the facts. Oh, but when God is in the midst, we got to stay close to God, and we got to learn to disconnect ourselves from family and friends who don't see the faith but can only spew the facts. You see, because factual folks share truth, but faithful folks share their testimony. Factual folks share what makes sense, but faithful folks share what makes a miracle. Factual folks share opinions, but faithful folks share God's promises. And when I'm going into a room where there's no hope and there's no help and all I got is Jesus, I don't need facts. I need more faith. That's why I'm thankful this morning, because I had a faithful daddy who did not believe in the facts, because it's facts that one of his two African-American sons should have been killed or at least done jail time. But his faith kept both his sons out of a cell and a cemetery. I thank God for my daddy, who stayed close enough to Jesus that when the facts told him that only one of us should make it through high school, that his faith allowed both of us to have master's degrees while one is working on a doctorate. I thank God for a daddy that stayed close enough to Jesus that when the facts said that one of us should be hanging in the streets, that both of us are now in a pulpit. One is his pastor and one is his assistant pastor. You can't tell me what the Lord can't do, but if you stay close enough to Jesus, look at somebody, tell them, I don't need facts. I got faith. And with God, all things. Let me move the last thing I love about this Father. On this Father's Day, it's not only do you have to stay in line, not only do you have to stay close to Jesus, but the last thing this Father teaches us is that we got to stay, please stay on duty. Look at somebody, tell them, stay on duty. Verse 41, it says, Jesus took the girl by the hand and told her to get up. And it says, the girl immediately got up and begin to walk around. Jesus then tells the parents, Reverend Sterling, he tells the parents to give her something to eat. This is the part of the text that somewhat baffled me, but also catches my attention. Jesus, you raised baby girl from the dead, had enough power to move her from the ICU back home. Jesus, you worked such a miracle that you told folks she ain't dead, even though there was no heartbeat and there was no pulse. You said she's just asleep. You touched her. And it says immediately she got up, started walking around. So, Jesus, I got a question. Why, when you brought her back, didn't you bring her back with a full stomach? Jesus performs the miracle, but then he tells the parents to feed her. I said, Jesus, why? Why you make them feed her? Jesus told me, he said, because I needed them to understand. He said that it was my job to make the miracle. He said, but it was their job to maintain it. He said, and the problem is sometimes folks want me to provide the miracle and then maintain the miracle that I just gave them. But Jesus said, now, he said, if I can perform the miracle, you ought to be able to keep the miracle. And I don't know who I'm talking to. It's up to us to do the preventive maintenance so that our blessings stay intact. God does not just want to see us blessed, but the truth of the matter is that God wants a return on his blessings. Luke 12:48 says it this way, when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be demanded. In other words, that's our responsibility. Once we ask God to do it, and God does exactly what God said he would do, it's then on us to preserve, protect, and prosper what God has already given to us. I'm just trying to help somebody realize that we are the maintainers. We are the sustainers. We are the upholders. We are the defenders over what God is doing in our lives. That God needs us, especially fathers and men of God, to take responsibility over our children and to maintain our families and to maintain our communities and to maintain our relationships and to maintain our God-given purposes. That we cannot make God culpable over things that God has given us responsibility over. In the midst of what we're having to encounter and deal with, it's our responsibility as men, as fathers, to stand up. It's our responsibility as men and as fathers to grow up, to move up, to wake up, to reach up, to climb up, to mount up, to rise up. It's our responsibility because when we do our job, then everything behind us has to come up. That when we do what we were sent to do, then everything around us has to prosper. When we hold to our faith, then those around us will hold to their faith. It's up to us as fathers and as men to stay right where we are. Standing all over the church this morning. I ask this morning if all the fathers